Hey, Police Gordon.
Brad Ewalt. Nebraska. I am representing. Matter Arthur. Bert was charged. Not charged. Also charged with sexual assault charge in a separate case. And part of a plea agreement, theft charge. Entered a plea in the sexual assault charge. At, and then a short time later, Mr. Ebert had filed a motion to have returned property that. And. Plea. Finding of guilt.
So who had the burden of proving that motion?
I believe that the appellant had the burden of proof. Ali had the burden of. The property belonged to somebody else. I think that appellant had. Show that had some claim to it, but I think the state had the. Their party also had a claim to it. Judge then has. Jurisdiction over. Actually belong.
What can we tell from our record here about what the judge did with respect to applying the burden of proof? Which party did the judge think had the burden of proof?
I suspect the judge thought that the state or. Appellant had the burden. Based on his finding that. Entitled to. I think that he. The factual. Basis was not enough.
What's our standard review?
Abuse of discretion. And our argument is that there was. Regard to three. Property. Judge abused discretion in particular in the. Issued an order that I believe mischaracterized what the evidence was. In particular with regard to the sawzall, something that Mike testified. Bomb guards. For $130 that was never reported stolen. It was not a piece of equipment that was. Business by Metals, which. Company that he is alleged to have stolen from. It was something that. Individual that was there to testify on behalf of 3D Metals. Case typically. It was never checked out by my client. Nothing was ever indicated stolen. Judge in order found that this piece of property that was ever indicated to have been stolen was reported stolen out of a truck instead of a crate or locked case that it was kept in. So, in particular, with regard to that, we're asking the court to find that the judge had. Because that completely characterized the evidence that was presented to the judge. In addition, there were a couple of other matters. There was a fault tool case. My client testified he purchased this case about a week ago. Arrested at a yard sale. Individual metal indicated that typically they have this air tool case marked. This DeWalt. Was not more. And the metal specifically testified there was no way he could tell that this was one of the two of these. Not because. So. Impression and finding. Situation. As I said, the standard impression. Discretion exists when the decision is clearly untenable or unreasonable. deprives the litigant of right and just fault qualifies because ownership of these materials that were held. So now he's been punished for something that he was never found guilty of by losing property.
Are there credibility issues in this case?
Well, I mean, Mr. Ebert was charged with a crime, found guilty of a separate crime.
How did the trial court, make any explicit or implicit findings regarding credibility?
I don't believe that they did. I think he just determined that he, one party over the other, he didn't say, well, Bert, you have other theft charges, or you have charges. Law enforcement, that he didn't find anything.
Didn't articulate anything.
Correct.
Well, at least some of the property, didn't the trial court explicitly say your client hadn't carried his burden?
I believe that's essentially what I think that perhaps if my client, I don't know what the court would have been looking for, if they would have been something like that. That would have been clear, but my client did testify specifically with regard to these items, where he would have gotten them, when he would have gotten them. He gave date ranges, amounts that he paid for the stuff.
Did the trial court improperly place the burden on your client?
They may have.
Is that an error of law?
Yes. I suspect they may have improperly. Case law that indicates the state has to show, without just claiming that something was stolen, they have to prove some evidence rightfully belongs. And
didn't your client concede that some of the evidence, some of the seized evidence, belonged to 3D?
He did, but he was still working for 3D at the time. And so some of the stuff was stuff that he was taking home to continue other things. And he did that belonged to them. On and theirs, they can have that back. There were certain.
Was that beyond a presumption of ownership?
I'm sorry.
Did the defendant articulate his presumption of ownership?
No. Said clearly that this is them and have that material.
With respect to the items that he continued to seek return of, with respect to those handful of items, does the law presume ownership because the defendant had possession of them at the time?
I think that.
Have we said that?
I haven't found a lot.
Assume that we have said that, but we haven't said it in the context of stolen property. That's potentially where the charge that was at least raised and why the material was seized had to do with a claim of stolen property. And if the property was seized because it was stolen, and when the defendant seeks to have it returned, the owner can't tell whether this particular item was the one that he had or one that's exactly like it from somewhere else. Should that presumption of ownership be applied, assuming that we've applied it in other contexts? Should it be situational where we're talking about potentially stolen property that's ubiquitous in the sense that one item, a Black and Decker drill of a particular model in somebody's possession looks just like one that's in somebody else's.
Then I think that it probably should be possession of it, the other person cares.
And to what extent do the admissions that some of the property belonged to the alleged victim of the theft, what impact does that have on the other items? The ones that they can't affirmatively say for sure, I can tell because my initials are on that, but it's just, it looks just like the one that was taken.
Well, I think that cuts both ways. I think that on one hand, you believe they can leave property than other ones. But on the other hand, he's honest about taking it. Not taking
it. Oh, do we give deference to the trial judge when the trial judge makes that call?
Well, I think we do. My impression is the same.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Vincent. Good morning to you.
Ms. Vincent, ask a cut to the chase. On further reflection, I thought, well, I gauge you where the actually called. Positive. At the time. I think when you look at all of the other items, I think if you were that alone, just saying that would be problematic. But in this items in this session that belong that were taken without permission, that must have been up and testify. I went. Enough. Not having that. McGuire came out after I just I submitted my brief. At
like to respond. Normal presumption.
Well, I think any time.
So if somebody's steal something that the victim can't specifically identify, they get to keep it. They're not convicted.
No, I'm not saying that you need a conviction. That's what you're asking. Part of drug offenses, convicted of drug offenses. In that case, how do we dispose of property that was put it? I think if you look, I've looked at federal law.
And it logically flows from your comment, then, the state can come in with the witness claiming that, in fact, that's my tool, right? And now we're down to what? Credibility?
I have a situation. I don't know exactly. Property tacitly acknowledged.
That was left for another day. The disposition of the property was left for another day.
Right, I think property is a lateral. It's handled in the criminal. But they.
Speaking of that, have we ever said, we've talked about the state having the burden to prove ownership, but have we ever said what the burden is? We articulated the quantum of proof in our previous decision.
Oh, it's always been.
And what do you suggest should be the burden of proof?
I think preponderance. That I believe.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments for today. The court is adjourned and you are excused.